other tongues, yielding to spiritual utterances. This is important. And even in our praising, our praying and our praising, we yield to spiritual leading and guiding and utterance as we praise God, right? And so we enjoy the greater manifestation of His presence, of His power, of the refreshing, all of these things that come. But then there also should be a producing in me. The whole of Scripture speaks to the evidence of His manifested power and glory in my life through my actions to others. I'd like us to turn to the book of John, chapter 13, and read verse 33 through 35. John 13, 33. I had a wonderful experience the other night. So we went into service Friday night in Selah. There was a gentleman that I hadn't seen for a long time. He came. He prayed through, got liberty in the Holy Ghost in the service. Then I look back and lo and behold, you've heard me tell of a person involved when we started our Spanish services over there in Yakima years ago. And the interpreter that was so used of the Lord, Olga Smith, she came in last night, or Friday night, was in the back and had just a wonderful experience in God. I don't even know where these people come from. But it's just been great to see the Lord draw people in the way that He has. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I wonder if you could quickly switch that over to NLT, that verse. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In the New Living Translation, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Sadly, I have observed those who have had a deep spiritual experience, but come away still questioning and wondering, where's the manifested power of His love prevailing in their life from that point forward? Very sensitive to spiritual matters, very sensitive to spiritual utterances, but yet still waiting to see the manifestation of what that ought to produce in a Christ-likeness in their attitudes and spirit and daily walk in life. Now, I'm going to lump myself into that just a little bit. In other words, I can look back on my own life and I am disappointed. I'm disappointed that earlier in my life, these matters didn't find such high priority. And I want that to change. I want it to keep changing. I don't want it to be a season. I want it to keep changing. John chapter 15, let's go a little further ahead at verse 9 through 13. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's see what the NLT says in that particular verse. While he's going there, a little disclaimer. Every once in a while, you may see one of your acquaintances on Facebook go off on love, love everybody, love, to the place it's mushy. And usually it's at the point of they've made some departure and they're trying to provide evidence that we've missed it all along the way, that that was the focal point only. That's my disclaimer. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown. Shown. Not just told. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. Now, this isn't like in the military sense, where you're going to go to war and lay down your life for your country. But it is in the sense of us letting go sometimes of things that we personally contend for in preferring my brother and showing the care, the compassion. Now, Acts chapter 2. This particular area of scripture has been on my heart for longer than months. And I find myself daily measuring and daily watching for areas for me to exercise exactly what I've read or what I'm about to read. Back to this truth thing. I can remember a season of time when a focal point was so strong in bringing distinction between different church groups that for many United Pentecostal churches, it was about, you know, it was all about Acts 2:38 and Peter's message. And these things are all true. And there was a certain amount of separating that out from churches that focused on social programs. Social programs that helped people. Literally. Physically. And sometimes we all pass by the little ringing bell and the red pot on our way into Target. And maybe we have a flash in our mind, well, that's the, you know, they're helping people. They're providing clothing and food and things like this. And it's easy for us who are truth bearers to distance ourselves from that as that's a social program. I know they have a name for themselves, but that's a social program. And we're about propagating the truth, the redemptive message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is also true. But even in the propagating of the message, even in the declaring of truths, there ought to be a sense and a something that is produced in me that compassion prevails, that love prevails to the place of personal action. Now, there are some who have attempted to develop social programs, even from the levels of governments. And in somehow that is supposed to make up for, but it doesn't make up for. Matter of fact, I don't believe it was ever the intent. But it was always God's intent in the earth that humanity would look to one another with a care and a compassion. And of course, he does not dismiss it, you know, prior to new birth. But at the place of new birth, he speaks of a transformation and a losing of my selfish past and a moving into my giving future, my caring, my compassion. And then he says, look, they'll all know who you are. You won't have to advertise it. If they can see how you care one for another, oh, they'll know. You won't have to put a banner on your chest. You won't have to put a sign out front. They'll know. They're the people. There they are. That's them. Acts 2:40 through 47. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this underworld generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We're going to 47. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all they that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There is so much here that is recorded and communicated concerning the attitude of the people. Now, oftentimes our evangelistic messages are centered around verses before this scenario. And I haven't heard a whole lot of preaching about the commonness that came to the people. Now, I get a sense, has anybody ever been involved in an emergency? I mean, I don't mean a flat tire. Sorry, Brother Chamberlain. Anybody have a house fire? Cletus Fisher had a house fire. Anybody been in a tragic car accident? Or let me rephrase this. Have you ever been in an event where others went through it with you? All right. When you go through, you know, here's what we could relate to. We go back and we talk about, you know, those guys that fought in foxholes together. And they made it through the barrage of the bullets. And maybe they even made it to the end of the war. And they come away with a camaraderie. Because there's something about in a catastrophic event. Now, I was there when Mount St. Helens blew. I mean, I wasn't at Mount St. Helens. I was close. I was in Yakima, and we were covered with the ash. Now, you'd have to have been there to see, you know, 4 inches at places. Richfield got 6 inches of powder in some places, but 4 inches of ash everywhere. The highways are closed down. The gas stations were closed down because it was static. And so it would actually kill batteries on motorcycles that were going down the road and some cars. And so they started shutting the gas stations, worrying about an explosion. And so pretty soon there were people with wearing these, you know, the masks around the face, driving down the road. And I'm thinking, I saw pictures of this when I was like in the fifth grade. They were talking about the condition of the world would get so bad, you know, the pollution, the people would be driving. And here people everywhere were driving around with those. It was an event. Neighbors begin to know neighbors that they'd never spoke to. Offer to get up on their roof. You know, see, this stuff didn't just blow away. It didn't melt with like snow. You had to haul it away. And so people were shoveling the roofs off and they were plowing. I drove a tractor for days backwards, pushing out of driveways and off of lots that my grandfather owned. It was so interesting, the mood of the people that changed. Because you see, nobody escaped the effects. And for some people with breathing problems, it was a much greater event. And I'll never forget the mood of the people, how they changed, and how neighbors, again, met their neighbor, and they would, you know, offer to get up on their roof and remove the ashes from their place. And this was not a small event, and it went on for, literally, it went on for months. They actually shut down. I don't know if you remember this. They shut down the city of Yakima. And there were groups from Portland that came up to try to help us. And then they had an event down there. Now, I realize that's not like coming through a war or a battle of bullets. But I get a sense of identifying that the commonness that came to these people would be like the commonness that would come to a people who had survived something together and found camaraderie. You know, we used to joke. I went to a meeting one time, and it was advertised to us, communicated that we would pray and fast for a week, and we did. And the ministry was very straightforward and very strong, forceful, and we prayed endlessly. And by the end of that week, we all felt like we were comrades. We had survived. And then when we would come and meet years later, it was like we were, you know, it was like the bond of brotherhood was really true there. I get a sense that what is written about the believers in the birth of the church and the things that the persecutions that they did suffer together and live through, that there was such a commonness that came to them that nobody called anything his own. And I want to go to this next verse, this next setting of scripture. Acts chapter 4, 31 through 37. When they had prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Before we go further, take this to the New Living Translation, this verse. All the believers were of one heart and mind, and they felt like, wait, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had. Would you read that out loud with me? They felt that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had. The scripture speaks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want these living scriptures to renew who I am, change who I am, adjust my thinking, my concepts to the place that it affects my steps, my actions. With all that I am and all that I might have at any given time. I so hunger for this kind of revival. Verse 33, either translation. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Is this a message brought forth by the Holy Ghost? Who inspired these writings? That seemed to dominate the earliest writings of the early church. You made your point. Let's get on. You know, let's talk about truth. You ever get the sense sometimes that we read over this portion and we just keep, okay, keep going. Keep going. Yeah, I got that. Go ahead. You know, go back. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I can't tell you of the times that people have excused that scripture and said, well, they were going to be overran anyway, and it was only the wisdom of the Holy Ghost that caused them to get rid of it all before they were overran and taken over. You see that somewhere there? Did I miss that somewhere? Or does this speak of manifestation of the love of God in the people of God, where His Spirit has came to inhabit and change? And make us more like He, Him. I embrace this. I welcome this. I'm bringing it in close to myself. I'm not distancing myself. I want whatever this will bring. Whatever it produces in me, I want it. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, he can't get off of this topic. Luke has got a problem. Which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. I get a sense. Luke is getting revelation. He can't stop talking about it. And he cites one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. Look, and then look, and look what Joseph did. Come on, this is for us. That's what he's saying. Having land. Now listen, this is not a, you know, like an infomercial. This is not a pull on you to sell that extra piece of property you got and bring your money in and lay it down on the front pew. This is not that. Having land sold, it brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Luke was emphasizing the matter and saying, look at the transformation that is taking place in us. Because in our humanity, we are self-driven. In our humanity, we are selfish. In our humanity, we collect and possess all that we can have for us and our own. But look at the transformation. And so he's going at length to communicate a description of the environment of these people who are now believers. And the only thing he repeats three times. You know, he didn't go say, Acts 2:38, come on, Acts 2:38, come on. Peter said unto them. Look what he focuses on and emphasizes over and over and over. And says, look at the evidence that we've become so changed and transformed by his indwelling spirit. That truly, we are becoming like him. Would you stand and pray with me for a minute as I turn this to Brother Johnston? By the work of your spirit, Lord, your word communicates to us with great description, Lord. By an act of your spirit, Father. By an act of your spirit, Father. I pray for this transformation, Lord. I pray for this transformation that it permeates our very being. Let it permeate our lives, our concepts, Lord, our conversation, oh God. In the name of Jesus. And we'll bring you glory, Father. We'll bring you glory, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Talk to the Lord for just a moment longer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you. Stay engaged with him in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Speak to my heart, Father. Speak to my mind. Speak to my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Whoever set up to do that, you can be seated for a minute. I'm asking him to come because I'm not going to take a long time. This bishop was talking about this. I was reminded of some books that my wife brought home a couple of years ago. Some of you have read them. It was a series of books.
woman had taken as much history as she could find and tried to intertwine it, church history, world history, from the New Testament time. And she wrote some books about the Old Testament time, but some of the stuff I had written or read was stuff she had written about New Testament times. And I became very aware of the conditions of the first church, because we read scriptures like this today and we think, Lord, have mercy. I mean, we sell our houses and move in here? But you have to understand the application to their lives and to our lives. When you look at the majority of the Christians of that day, were not the wealthy and influential people of the world. Many of them were slaves who had nothing, who snuck away from their masters for moments of time, who would maybe bump into a fellow Christian in the marketplace while gathering supplies for their master, and would recognize by voice or by spirit, there's a fellow believer. And they would connect, and where do you meet at? And they worshiped God. They worshiped the one true living God, but these weren't people who had anything. Many of them were beaten. Many of them were abused. Many of them were trying to get out of their current situations. And so when you read scriptures like this, there were some among them who had something and many who had nothing. And the Holy Ghost said to these, how can you say? How can you say, I love you, brother? Jesus loves you, brother. Now, you just turn right back around. You go back up there to your master's house and let him beat on you and treat you like trash and beg for every scrap of food you get. God bless you, okay? I'm going to go back to my palace and eat my steak tonight. Luke wasn't the only one in the New Testament to talk about this. James chapter 2, verse 14, I'm in the New Living Translation. He said, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Verse 15 says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. See, we're in a different day today. Every single one of us live, we came here on our own free will today. Most all of us have a vehicle. We all drove here. Most all of us have a home. Most all of us have basic necessities. But each of us come in contact with situations even among us. We become made aware of scenarios even among us. On a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And he says, somebody comes to you and says, man, I'm hungry. Well, God bless you. God loves you. And I'm thirsty and I don't have any water. Well, God bless you. Jesus loves you. I'm going to pray for you, brother. James is saying, if you say you have faith, let the Spirit of God talk to you. Let the Spirit of God guide you. Let him lead you in what your responsibility is. What is your responsibility? Have you talked to the Lord about that? What has he made you aware of? What is going on in your sphere of influence?
A couple weeks ago, y'all remember Brother Martin? A couple weeks ago, he texted me one night. It was late. I was putting my kids to bed. He said, I need to talk to you. I thought, oh, Lord, what did I say? What did I do? Well, it got late. The kids were difficult going down that night. So I didn't get to call him back. So I texted him. I said, I'll call you in the morning. So I called him the next morning. He said, listen. He said, I found this coat. it was in the shop. It was laying over here in the shop. This is at the farm. He says, it was laying over by the, and over somewhere in the shop. He says, I picked it up. I put it on. It was warm. He said, I asked Bishop. I said, can I wear this coat? And he said, yes. He said, I didn't have a coat. I'm thinking, what coat? I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you calling me to tell me this story? And then he said, Bishop told me that it's your coat. He said, can I have it? And I'm thinking, what? I can't possibly think what I'd have left there. And I couldn't, without even thinking about it, I didn't even know what I was giving away. I said, yes, absolutely. What James is saying is, you know, I could have said, yeah, you know what, brother, I feel bad for you. I'm gonna agree together with you in prayer that God's gonna provide this for you. God's gonna provide you. You have, give it to him. You know the funny thing was? If you know of our housing situation, all my winter coats are in storage because I wasn't planning on being where I'm at right now. And we're having one of the coldest winters to date. I don't have a coat. I had a coat over there and I gave it away. Tuesday, I got on a plane to go to Oakland. It was so cold. I'm walking down the jetway and I'm going, I'm in a button-up shirt. No coat. And my coworker's looking at me going, what is wrong with you? Where's your coat? I said, I don't have one. I said, and I'm too cheap to go buy one because I got one in storage. It's going to come out in a couple months. And then I'll have two. And I don't need two coats. And I said, plus we're going to the Bay Area. It'll be nice down there. Yeah, they're having winter storms. It was pouring down rain the entire time. I had a flat tire. I was standing on the side of the road in a button-up shirt soaking wet while AAA changed my tire. I'm giving my coat away. That's what the Holy Ghost was talking to the first church about here. You have a responsibility. All of us have a responsibility. And I don't know what that is. I've been raised in this thing. While he was talking, I was reminiscing of the stories that you hear of people who would sell things. And you know, the Lord would deal with them about selling something and giving the money. When I was a couple of weeks ago, when Brother Tomev was here, and Bishop was talking at the end of that, and he said, you know, whatever the Lord would deal with you about. Well, I had a bull for sale. And I couldn't sell him. In fact, I was about to the point where I was giving him away. Just about. People were telling me, nobody should buy a bull at that price because if you got it that cheap, the thing's probably a piece of junk. But he's not. He's a good bull. He makes somebody a great bull. So the Lord started talking to me about that bull that day. And so I had some conversation with him about that. I made some commitments in faith that he was going to sell that bull. So I did. Made a commitment to the Lord. Within a week, a man called me from Oregon. Said, I want to buy your bull. I haven't seen it, but I want to buy it. He said, how can I get you some money? And I said, well, I can. My business takes credit cards. I can take a credit card. He goes, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I've never met you. I don't know who you are, but I'm going to give you my credit card payment over the phone. I said, sir, I don't know how to say this to you, but I promise you your credit card information is going nowhere. It's going to show up in your bank account. Okay. If I trust, I don't know why, but I'm just going to trust you. And so he gave me partial payment for an animal he's never even seen. I don't know when he's going to come pick him up. God knows all things. He sees everything, and he can ask things of us. You know how long I've waited and waited and waited trying to move this thing? Up to the point where I needed him gone. But God knew. He had a plan for it. You know, I didn't want that bull to begin with. I kind of got stuck with him because I wanted his mom, and they made me take him with his mom. I didn't want him. I had no use for him. The Lord did. For his kingdom. I'm telling you that. I was raised on stories of the Lord moved upon me to sell my car. I sold it, and the Lord said, I want you to take that money and give it to so-and-so. We read these scriptures in the book of Acts, and we think, well, bless the Lord on my soul. That was 2,000 years ago. This is 2016, almost 17, you know. No, there were generations of people, and we're still in this. We're still a part of these generations of individuals who will be obedient to the Holy Ghost, and whatever it is he asks them to do, they will do it. Now, it may seem extreme to some. He may ask some to do things that he doesn't ask others to do. He's never asked me to do some great, big, huge feat. He hasn't asked me that. I don't know that he won't in the future, but he hasn't asked me yet. I've watched others who he's asked to do things, and they do it with such faith and such trust and such determination. And I ask the Lord, Lord, if you ever ask that of me, let me be willing to say yes. You know what this is about? It's about taking our faith to the next level. You ready to do that today? Are you willing to do that today? Why don't we stand together again? It's so easy sometimes to attach monetary value to things. Like, you know, giving money to the poor. I'm reminded of the story. I believe it was the prophet Elisha who came to the widow who had need and asked her, he said, what do you have in the house? What's in the house? She said, well, I got some pots here. Sometimes it's easy to look at things with monetary value, and then the first thing we do when we look at monetary value is look at our checking account or savings account. We're like, well, that's empty. So I guess I have no value to the kingdom. We sang the song today, it's your breath in my lungs. He's given you life. He's given each of you talents and abilities. What are you doing with those things to help others? Contact with a lady one time who to survive, she literally went to the local food bank every week to get food bucks. That's her survival. That's how she survived. And yet that same lady would cook a meal for somebody in the church a few times a month. I'd see it in the church refrigerator. Their name on it. That's all she had. That was what the Lord had asked her to do, and she took of what little bit she had and use it to bless somebody else. I wonder today, what's in your house? What's in your possession? What is God asking of you today? Your talent, your ability, something that you have. To be a blessing to somebody else, to show the love of God to somebody else. Your time, your resources, so much available to us. Sometimes in the 21st century, it's really easy to just throw money at stuff. I walk by that red pot and give my kids some coins or a dollar bill to put in there. It's easy. And then my conscience is cleared. Okay, I helped. Let the Lord talk to you about what he wants you to do. What's what's my part to play in the kingdom? I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about from here forward. What's my part? What am I to do? It's going to be different for every single one of us. Every single one of us have different things that we bring. Would you talk to the Lord right now about that? And let him talk to you. Bring before him what you have to offer. Present your sacrifice. Present your body. Present your life. Jesus, here I am. You know what I have. Everything that I have has come from you. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. There's nothing that I possess that you haven't given me. You're aware of all of it. You see all of it. Father, I want your voice to prevail in my life in this day and age that I live in. In a spirit of selfishness and unthankfulness that permeates our world and our society today, Father, let my spirit be open to you. Let my spirit be sensitive to you. To react when you ask me to. To respond when you ask me to. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
I'm going to ask my wife to lead us in a song here right now. And I don't want to move on from this. I want us to take a few more minutes here. If you want to sing along with her, if you want to continue to talk to the Lord, would you just take a few more minutes here before we leave this room today and let the Lord really talk to you about what your part is to play in his kingdom in the giving of what he's given you? Could we do that together right now?
Rise with him.
Jesus,
Holy Spirit,
Jesus,
we're ready for you. Rise with him. Holy Spirit.